please be seated. Lent begins this week. Ash Wednesday is already this Wednesday. It's mind-boggling to think we're already at this point. I'm not much of a giver-upper for Lent. I know it's more traditional to find something you love and deny yourself of it for 40 days. It's all very sacrificial and thus in many minds more holy. But honestly, it makes me feel more like a recalcitrant child than a thoughtful disciple. What helps me be more intentional is when I have to take something on. Contemplating what it will be, how to apply it, wondering what will come from it at the surface level and perhaps a level or two below that. I've been pondering, what would it mean to have a Lenten discipline of listening? Or perhaps a Lenten discipline that's just the opposite of listening. I'm not even really sure what that would look like, but can imagine some possibilities. Knock, knock. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Knock, knock. The interrupting sheep. Bah! Get it? This joke is from an excerpt from the closing credits of a show called The Vicar of Dibley. It's a BBC show about a tiny Anglican communion in an English village. There's a regular cast of quirky, imperfect people, two of which are the vicar and Alice, her determined acolyte. And the vicar and Alice share this joke at the end of one episode. The vicar is telling the joke and Alice is responding. Let me continue the scene. I'll lean left for the vicar and right for Alice. So the vicar tells the joke and she continues, "Did you get it?" Alice states, "No, sorry, because I hadn't finished my bit. Do it again." And, "No, no, that's the joke. The interrupting sheep always interrupts people, see? And that's funny?" "Yes, it's hilarious." Alice, dear, dear Alice, she is dedicated. She spends a lot of time following Jesus. Or maybe more accurately in the show, The Vicar. She is deeply loyal, she works hard, and yet, at times, despite her sincere efforts, she doesn't get it. In this joke and elsewhere, Alice could be a modern-day, gentler version of Jesus' disciple, Peter. One of the things worth noting about this show, The Vicar of Dibley, is that its Peter moments are viewed more kindly than perhaps we do at times. It's as if to acknowledge that we will all get our chance to be Peter. In today's gospel, Peter doesn't get it, and by some counts, he misses it a few times. First, there's what's happened with Jesus right before his very eyes. Jesus' stunning change, his face shone like the sun. And Peter says nothing, doesn't even comment on it. Not that Peter knew in that moment that this would later come to be known as Transfiguration Sunday, but still, we hear in the gospel Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Peter had the opportunity to listen. not only did he have the chance to listen, but he had the opportunity to eavesdrop on Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. Imagine that conversation. It would be amazing. Perhaps in a contemporary way, it would be like getting to eavesdrop on Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, and Eleanor Roosevelt. But instead of listening, he just kept talking. It's like Peter couldn't help himself. He just started blathering. Perhaps he was nervous. I don't know what it was. But while Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." One could think that even God lost patience with Peter's rambling. God noticed that Peter wasn't paying attention, or perhaps more accurately, that Peter wasn't paying attention to the right things. So God did the unthinkable, well, at least in polite Episcopal communities. God interrupted. Perhaps we need to transfigure our ideas of listening and interrupting. Listening, the holy work of listening. It is not simply not talking, but clearly that's a part of it. Truly listening is an action, not an absence. It involves listening to what is being said and what is not. It involves actively allowing for silence, protecting it almost, so that thoughts, hopes, fears, and pain may rise to the surface, perhaps even find breath. Truly listening transforms the ordinary into the sacred. Listening to a neighbor or colleague share their experience of discrimination. Listening to an oppressed group demand what they need. Listening to the fear, pain, and anguish all around us, even if it's almost too much to bear. Today we also hear the holy work of interrupting. It is not simply an action of the impolite, but also of the courageously defiant. It involves seizing the moment, calling out the unacceptable, changing the dynamic, forcing a shift in the perspective, shining a light on the injustice of the status quo. There are times when it is holy work to interrupt. Apparently, God thought so in today's gospel. And what about for us today? Where do we interrupt? When a trans person is being accosted by someone for using a certain bathroom? When racist or ableist or misogynist or anti-Semitic or sizist or anti-immigrant or Islamophobic or homophobic or anti-queer statements are being said in our presence? When the administration of this country attempts to destroy the freedom of the press, these and many other times are times of holy interruption. And how to know when to do which when it feels less clear. Perhaps we need more practice to do more of both, which on the surface could seem impossible, yet we are Episcopalians, and as such, we are the people of the both and rather than the either or. We are the people of the not yet and the already. We can both listen more and interrupt more. Sometimes the choice may feel scary. We may feel overwhelmed by it all, or even embarrassed at misunderstanding, getting it wrong, like Peter did. Or we may be afraid of what we must hear or what we must say. We won't always get it right, living in this tension of holy listening and holy interrupting. We would do well to remember that we are not alone. We are never doing this on our own. So we come to church on Sundays to be reminded of that, to be with each other, to remind each other of our faith, of our convictions, of our love. We come to this place and to this table, as today's epistle reminds us, so we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You would do well to be attentive to this lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, until we are transfigured, not once, but over and over and over. We hear today God's voice from the cloud imploring the disciples, listen, listen, please listen to my beloved son, Jesus. And Jesus reminds us, the disciples of today, as he reminded the disciples from long ago, not only in word, but in deed. Jesus came and touched them. He touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. May we continue to hear these voices in the clouds and here on earth to help us. And may we remember, as we hear from our morning prayers over and over, that we are God's, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Knock, knock.